Today on Real Radio.
This one guy bought a mine, plot of land, a mine, and he'd worked it and worked it and worked it, and he got a little bit out of it. And he's picking away and picking away, and he got fed up with the thing. And he just wasn't even breaking even, so he sells it to this other guy. The other guy picks up, and the very day he bought it, he hits with his axe like three more whacks, and he hits one of the largest veins ever found in world history. Made the man the richest man in California, richest man in America at the time. Isn't that incredible? The other guy would have persevered just three more hits. What a nut. Poor guy. He must have been the laughing stock. But how many times, Lord, I'm just praying, forget it. And we walk away in the Lord just like Daniel. Daniel fasting and praying for how many days?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. This is the final study of the series, a look at the closing verses of chapter 6. Starting with verse 18, Paul mentions what we might call the prayer principle, but in the context of warfare. Now, this study is quite arguably among the best treatments on prayer you may ever hear. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Prayer for the Battle.
We need to persist, perseverance. In James 5:16, the scripture says there that the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with the same nature as ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain for about 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. That's something. That's perseverance. He prays, and for the work of God, that drought needed to last 3.5 years, and it hung in there. Elijah, again, he prays for rain, and he sends, Gehazi is his buddy. I can't remember exactly. I think it's Gehazi. Elijah goes down to his knees and prays, Lord, send rain. I'm asking you to send rain. And he looks up and he says, Gehazi, go look for a cloud. No, he does. He goes, go look for a cloud. And he's waiting. Gehazi comes back and goes, there's no cloud. Lord, we need rain. Rain, Lord. Go look again. And Gehazi, all right, I'm on the payroll. What the heck? Okay, I'll go. And he goes, and I don't see anything. Lord, I'm praying for rain. Gehazi, go again. Oh, brother, okay. And he goes, and he comes back, and he goes, there's nothing out there, Elijah, nothing. Except over the Mediterranean Sea, there's a cloud, it's about the size of my fist in the horizon. And Elijah stands up and goes, get an umbrella, we're going to get swamped, it's going to flood, come on, quick, let's go. And Gehazi must have thought he was nuts. And as they were going, such a storm came. It was a horrendous storm. Perseverance. A couple of years ago, we were on a vacation and we stopped in Bodie, California, where Bodie at one point in time produced more gold than any other place on the face of the earth. It was also known to be the most demonic city. People were killing each other. There are 2 people being killed a day. In this little mining town, it was absolute the worst thing. There were prostitution was horrendous. People were making millions of dollars a day. This one guy bought a mine, plot of land, a mine, and he'd worked it and worked it and worked it, and he got a little bit out of it. And he's picking away and picking away, and he got fed up with the thing. And he just wasn't even breaking even. So he sells it to this other guy. The other guy picks up, and the very day he bought it, he hits with his axe like 3 more whacks, and he hits one of the largest veins ever found in world history. Made the man the richest man in California, richest man in America at the time. Isn't that incredible? If the other guy would have persevered just three more hits. What a nut. Poor guy. He must have been the laughing stock. But how many times, Lord, I'm just praying. Oh, I'm forget it. And we walk away in the Lord just like Daniel. Daniel fasting and praying for how many days?
21.
How many days?
21.
He's praying. And he's thinking, what's the deal? And then, on the 21st day, an angel shows up and says, Daniel, the moment you prayed, God heard your prayer, and I was given the answer to come and give it to you. But the prince of Persia, demonic entity, him and I were fighting in the atmosphere for 20 days. And I would still be there if Michael wouldn't have come and took my place and beat the snot out of the guy. And now I'm down here, and now I'm giving you the answer. Your prayer's been answered, Daniel. And I gotta go, because I gotta go back, because now another demonic entity awaits my battle. Isn't that amazing? Persevere. We give up. Persevere on. The Christian soldier has a plan of attack. Verses 19 and 20, the Christian soldier is in need of prayer. Paul says, how beautiful this is. Paul says, pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Can you believe Paul is asking for this? I just thought guys like this are always bold. You look at great speakers. You look at guys on TV. You can watch Charles Stanley, you know, these fantastic preachers and teachers. And you look at guys like Greg Laurie speaking in front of a gazillion of people in the stadium. You know, how do they do this? There's great attack going on. And they look so natural. And if you were to ever get a chance to see them behind the stage, behind the scenes, they're on their face. Oh, God, please show up for this message. Oh, Lord, give me your strength. I don't know what to say. It's so true. They can study. I know this for a fact. You can study and study, study, and then look at it 10 minutes before the service, and you look at your notes that you've been working on all week, and you look and you go, what in the world was I thinking? What does this mean? Oh, Lord, help me. I can't even remember what the thought was. It's so weird. And then God comes. And, you know, there's these great guys, and they're preaching away and all this stuff. And then they step off the pulpit. And then it's almost as they pass through the veil, and then they look back and they go, wow, what did I just say? Thank you, Lord. It's miraculous. Paul says, pray for me. Paul was greatly used supernaturally, but it wasn't naturally. It was supernaturally that God used him. Man, if we begin to do things in our own abilities and our own expertise, we're in trouble. May this church always be dependent upon God in everything that we do. The Christian soldier needs prayer. He says that utterance might be given to me. This word utterance means the freedom to share. That God would first of all give me freedom to share. An open opportunity to share. Throughout the book of Acts, you see that. Paul often requested prayer. In Romans, or in the book of Romans, to the church at Rome, Paul says there in chapter 15, verse 30, he says, I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the love of God, the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. Paul wanted prayer. Paul wanted people to pray for him. At the church at Corinth, Paul asked them in chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says, pray for me. The church at Colossae, Paul says to the church at Colossae, pray for me in Colossians 4, 3. In the church at Thessalonica, two times in chapter 5, verse 25, Paul says, brethren, pray for us. And in 2 Thessalonians 3, 1, Paul says there, pray for us. We need prayer. You and I need prayer. There are some people, I don't understand them, I think they're quite crazy, if you ask me, Christians who say, I pray for everyone else. I never pray for myself. What are you, crazy? Jesus even prayed, "Father, if it's possible, remove this cup from me." We are to pray for ourselves too, you know. Yes, we are to pray for others. Yes, we are to pray for our leaders and our nation and for the peace of Jerusalem. Yes. But we are also to pray to take our own cause before the Lord. And you might say, well, I wouldn't dare do that to the Lord on his time, you know. Oh, man, you better get desperate and pray. Pray to him. That's a very self-righteous attitude to think that you can somehow get by without prayer. Even prayer offered up by yourself. In verse 19, we see here that there's an intelligent way to pray when he does say that I'd be given utterance. In that open sharing and that opportunity is to argue and reason, as it's seen in Acts chapter 19, verse 8. The open door was given, and Paul reasoned and persuaded the multitude boldly concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Wow, that's awesome. There's also a dynamic, that I may open my mouth boldly. There's two things here. One, to make known the mystery of the gospel. The word mystery is not some, like a crime movie you're going to watch. Or doesn't Agatha Christie, doesn't she do crime things? Those mystery things? That's not the mystery that we're talking about here. The word mystery here in the Greek is secrets of God not yet known, or not known in the Old Testament. God was revealing the new revelation that came through Jesus Christ, through the apostles, and Paul is saying, pray for me that I might have boldness, a dynamic, a real power, the word's dynamic, to reveal the mysteries that God wants to be known concerning the church. He also says that he would like to have boldness in his mouth to speak, where it says, concerning for which I'm an ambassador in chains. He says in the second request that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And the word ought to speak here is that we can speak boldly because we have the right to speak boldly. We do. Why? Because we know the gospel. We know Christ. We can tell people about something that matters. Today I had a wonderful interruption. Anyway, it was a really neat day. Went out to a house in West Covina of a man who I think is like 68 or 69 years old, who is dying. He is on his deathbed. And a couple of weeks ago, Debbie was sharing the Lord with him, and he accepted the Lord. And so I went out there today because he's just possibly in his last few days, if not hours, you know, and to see what's happening there in the home, where the family is getting around him and they're taking shifts reading the Bible to him. He wants to hear the Word of God. He's just new, born again, and he wants to hear the Bible. So we're going to get him tapes, and we're going to get him things and all, but the thing is, they're saying, oh, we're reading the Bible to him. And it was really cute because a couple of the family members, this one person was supposed to read just two chapters, hand the Bible to the next person, and that guy was supposed to keep going. Well, when the person got done with two, they went on with the third and the fourth, and they didn't want to stop. They went, this is something. And they're reading the book. And today they're all in the room. We got around him and held hands and prayed. And the Lord has been speaking to this man in his illness and in his soon departure. The Lord is speaking to him and encouraging him. And he's so excited. He's sad because he's going to be leaving some 18 or 19 grandchildren and 6 great-grandchildren. But he's so excited about what God has been showing him in his sleep hours and in his times of laying there. God's been giving him visions. And he goes, I want to go home. And he's only been in the family for 2 weeks. Man, what a way to live, huh? Yes, Lord, and I accept you into my heart. And can you imagine? What a way to go. Man. And it was so fun to stand there. Why? We went through the scriptures again this morning, and we have boldness to do it because this is the Word of God. It's the truth of the ages. We don't have to cower and go back from presenting this Word. We're not selling vacuums at doorsteps or something like that. It's a dynamic gospel. We can present it with a dynamic way or in a dynamic way. The Christian soldier's network of support is next, verses 21 to 22. And this comes now down to the farewell of Paul. He says, "But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother, and a faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, and that you may be comforted, or your hearts might be comforted through him." This is a beautiful thing. People, there are friends in the faith. Yes, there are enemies, and there's a great line of foes, and the enemy is a very formidable foe, but there are friends in the faith, people who will pray. I know a few in my life that I am so grateful that they're praying. In my day's activities, and no matter where I'm at in the world, I know that I've got a brother praying for me. And I tell you, there's times when I'm supposed to get up and speak, or I'm going to go share with that guy on the street, or whatever the thing is, and I start to get all panicky, my mouth gets dry, I'm wondering, what do I say? And so often the Lord says, in reminding me, you're being prayed for. And it's like, thank you, Lord. There are friends in the faith. They may be few, but you don't need many when you have friends in the faith. Paul had them. Personal friends in the faith. Listen to this, and we'll end very quickly here. In 2 Timothy 4, just listen if you'd like, jot it down if you want. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, Paul says, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness." Now, he's saying this in a prison that's between Paul's legs is flowing raw sewage in this prison that he's in. He says, "There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing." He says, "Be diligent to come to me quickly." He's writing this, and then he's going to hand it to Luke. By the way, he's going to hand it through what you and I would call a manhole cover. It was iron weaved together, but a little bit of light could come through, and Paul was talking to Luke in that prison sewage hole. He's calling up to Luke, and Luke is jotting these things down, and Paul says, "Be diligent to come to me quickly." The letter's written to Timothy. "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." He's departed for Thessalonica. Demas was a turncoat. He caved in. He left Paul. Cretans, he left for Galatia. Titus is in Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark. Remember John Mark, author of the Gospel of Mark? Get Mark. And bring him with you, for he's useful to me for the ministry. And Tychicus, he appears again. "I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left at Carpus's house in Troas. When you come, bring it. And the books, especially the parchments." That's the Old Testament commentaries. "Bring me the books." The guy is dying. The Lord showed him, "You're going to be dying soon. Your head's going to come off your shoulders." Paul says, "When you come, hurry up and come. Quickly, come before winter and bring my books. I want to study the Word of God. Alexander the coppersmith, he did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, nobody stood with me, but everyone forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. He says, amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and Trophimus I have left in Miletus. He's sick. Do your utmost to come to me before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be to you. This is a man who's about ready to die. Isn't that awesome? Incredible. And finally, in verses 23 and 24, the Christian soldier ends victoriously. We run out of time. I'm going to run through this quickly. It says in verse 23, circle it in your Bible, peace, you should circle peace to the brethren, and love, circle that, and or with faith, you should circle faith, from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, and circle grace be with you who have loved the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Paul finished well. He died for his faith. He was a tremendous soldier of God. You can close your Bibles, and I want to leave you with this story. In Joshua chapter 14, there's a guy by the name of Caleb. You remember him in his earlier days. He was a tremendous warrior. He worked for Joshua. And Caleb, at the end of his life, he's 85 years old. And the land is being divided up. And nobody wants this one certain area. And Caleb says, give me that mountain. I'll take the mountain. Whoa, but there's the enemies in the mountain. It's dangerous. Caleb, 85 years old. I whipped those guys when I was 40, and I can whip them now in 85. I might be old, but the strength of the Lord is in my hands. Give me that place that nobody wants. That's where I want to live the rest of my days. That old crusty guy grabs his sword, all these little young punts thinking that there's something. Caleb just battle-scarred, bruised, goes up the mountain and pitched his tent and lived his life until the Lord took him home. I am 85 years old. I whipped him through the Lord's help when I was 40, and I'll whip him through the Lord's help when I'm 85. Man, we need people like that. We can all be like that. Because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Prayer for the Battle. It's the final part of a mini-series taken from Ephesians 6 called Complete Christian Armor. On Monday's edition of Real Radio, our teacher begins a new series in the Old Testament book of Judges, so be sure and join us. Remember, this series, Complete Christian Armor, is available in an 8-CD set. One of our main tasks here at Real Radio is to equip you with all that is necessary for your growth as a true believer. So here's our offer for your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. We'll be glad to send you this 8-CD package. Ask for it by name, Complete Christian Armor. To get in touch, call, click, or write. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.